Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live from Indianapolis here at the NFL Combine. Got to hear from a few of the prospects this morning, linebackers and defensive tackles, defensive linemen. Took the podiums here today at the media center. And, you know, every year I'm not a big draft guy, you guys know, but eventually this is the week where I start to kind of maybe not try to fall in love with guys, but certainly have guys who pique my interest and see, you know, the Packers' needs coalescing around certain positions, defensive front certainly being one of them, defensive tackle in particular. Heard from a number of guys. I mean, I'll tell you, Lee Hunter from Texas Tech, he's a guy who, you know, I know he had a really good week at the Senior Bowl. Listening to him talk today, I kind of let the dream die. I know there had been early mocks a couple months ago where there was this, you know, possibility that he might fall into the second round. Man, you can kiss that goodbye. This kid's going to the first. You talk about someone I would love to have in the building and in your program. Doesn't mean he's the only one. Obviously, there's lots of talent on offer. But it's the type of thing that happens this week in the combine where I just have to start letting dreams die. And that is certainly one of them. But it is certainly seemingly, from all the folks you talk to here in Indy that cover the draft and work for teams, et cetera, a good year to need help along your defensive interior. There will be opportunities on day two and three for the Packers to add to that room, which I suspect they will be looking to do so, dependent, obviously, as always, how the board falls. But, man, it's good that, once again, that seems to have a draft class that has strength and depth at places where the Packers will undoubtedly be looking, whether that is defensive tackle, offensive line in general. The buzz has been that there will be plenty on offer there for the Packers later in the draft. And the corner group is interesting. I remember last year there was a lot of injury concerns and or guys that were very talented coming off of injuries. Feels like there'll be a little bit more on offer for the Packers this year, in a year where they'll definitely be looking for help on the perimeter at the cornerback spot. So that's all good news for the Packers. Now, I believe corners talk later this week, so I haven't gotten to hear from any of them. Probably won't. I think they talk the day I leave, actually. But the work begins in earnest, right? Packers putting in the work as far as behind the scenes, interviewing almost all of these prospects, doing all the medical write-ups. Always interesting to see who chooses to work out. I do feel like we're going to get more workouts this year. Not quite as top heavy as of a draft as in years past. So I think a lot of guys want to, you know, put themselves out there and compete and have those numbers on record. Probably a lot of people doubling up on pro days as well, but I think it's good for the process. I think it's good for evaluators, and it's going to be interesting to see how that rolls out here over the course of this next 4 or 5 days when workouts begin, I believe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of talk about the Packers at pick 52 and what their options are. I highly recommend you check out Newt's latest video here at Cheesehead TV. Went up a little bit earlier this afternoon, looking at all the different types of scenarios that the Packers could face if they sit there at 52 and do not trade up or back. Lot of different kind of possibilities of talent falling to them. Again, at positions of need, and some really good talented players seemingly going to be available around that pick. So make sure you check that out. And speaking of checking out stuff here on the channel, make sure you check out my conversation with Greg Rosenthal from NFL Media. Talk to him about his piece at NFL.com about the 101 top free agents here as we sit 2 weeks out from the start of that process. Greg's a big believer in Malik Willis, as am I. And man, the idea that this cat is going to get out there and get the bag is very exciting for Packers fans and the Packers organization, because obviously the better he does contractually, the better it is for their comp pick down the road. So talked about that, talked about a couple of the other free agents that the Packers have hitting the market, such as Romeo Doubs, Rashid Walker, etc. So make sure you check that out. Greg is an old friend. He's been doing this a very long time. I think he's got one of the keenest eyes in the game. He really knows his stuff. So make sure you check that out. And then later tonight, I will have the latest Carry the G Radio, the podcast with Billy, dropping. Just recorded that a little bit ago. That'll be up later tonight. So make sure you check that out. But more important than any of that is what you guys want to talk about. Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do here each and every day, Monday through Friday on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Good to see you all. Thanks so much for being here. Jim, how you doing, buddy? Happy hump day indeed. Before we get going, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. When it comes to football, it's all about action, and sometimes injuries happen. Whether it's a sprain, strain, or something more serious, ThetaCare Orthopedic Care is here to help you recover like a pro. Their team offers expert care for bones, joints, and muscles so you can get back to doing what you love on the field or in the stands. Don't let pain sideline you. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? How we living? Let's get through this hump day together. Evil Badger, how you doing, man? Maybe Ben Johnson should join the WWE because he's so fake. Is he fake? I don't know. He's just embracing it. I mean, I get that. I don't believe he grew up a lifelong Packer hater as a young man from wherever, but maybe he did. So there's always going to be some artifice to it, but it's an entertainment business. I love that he's leaning into it. That stuff with Florio was hilarious. I was just talking to somebody earlier this morning. I forget, one of the guys down there, where I love that he is leaning into the rivalry in a way that galvanizes Packers fans. Like, man, it's been dormant for so long because the Bears have been so bad. I love the fact that we've got somebody in there a la, you know, Ditka in the 80s. Like, he hated Forrest Gregg. He hated Forrest Gregg. You know, and I don't know what real animosity Ben Johnson might have for Matt LaFleur, but, man, I'm embracing it. I love that the rivalry is back, so to speak. I think it's fun. I think it's good. Fun is a thing I always want to lean into because, God knows, shit has gotten so serious. Like, everything's about, I don't know, the most serious aspects of everything on football, and anytime anyone tries to have a little fun, it's shouted down or diminished or dismissed, and it's like, it's okay. It's okay to have a good time. Have a little fun. Menace, how you doing, man? I wouldn't mind seeing Coach fire back at him. He has no issues getting snippy and shitty with the media about Halloween and kickers. Let's see it against the fucking dweeb Johnson. I mean, but that's the difference, right? I mean, the Bears do focus on the Packers, whereas the Packers focus on trying to win and in general and beating whoever is in front of them next, right? It's just not, I don't see that changing anytime soon. Now, I wouldn't mind LaFleur getting a little, you know, feisty about Ben Johnson sometime in public. That would be a lot of fun. But I don't think that's in his nature. I don't think it's who he is. And you talk about being fake. The last thing you want to do is have LaFleur up there playing pretend about it, right? So, yeah, maybe we get a little bit more frostiness from LaFleur going forward because, hey, man, got embarrassed in the playoff game. Pretty good. And then after the game, that handshake and, you know, Ben Johnson yelling, fuck the Packers. That might galvanize some folks inside the building. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, the stuff, you know, yelling about the kickers or whatever, getting feisty with the media, like, you know, Matt, I think needs to loosen up in general. I've said that many times here on this channel, but I don't want him to be fake. I don't want him to be inauthentic. You know, the things that upset him, you should let upset him. That's fine. I got no problem with that. We got here, John Subotovich. How are you? Welcome back to Indy. Glad you're here. Kettle of Fish was great. No Patrick, though. Chances Green Bay trades up in the first round. Pickens to Green Bay. Go, Pack, go. Pickens to Green Bay? Absolutely not. I mean, and this isn't like, you know, Micah Parsons saying that'll never happen, and then it does. Pickens, first of all, I'm going to be very surprised if he makes it anywhere out of Dallas, but the Packers have been planning for this moment with their wide receivers as far as allowing Romeo Doubs to walk and having plenty on offer talent-wise to supplement that loss. I don't see them laying out big money for a wide receiver of all things in free agency. That said, you're talking about trading up to the first round. Never say never. It's very unlikely. It would take Brian Gutekunst really falling in love with a player for them to do so, and he would have to probably give up some significant assets to do it. I think they're a team that is maybe not in desperate need, but they certainly need cheap labor, and the best way to do that is to have multiple draft picks that are contributing throughout the 4-year rookie contract, right? And you get the more of those you have, the better off you are. You don't, you know, want to ship those off to go get one guy, especially when you've given up assets, two premium assets and first round picks to go get Micah Parsons. I I'm not saying it's impossible, but I would be very surprised. And it was funny on Happy Hour last night, Corey was saying, we got to do it. We got to get back up into the first round. But Corey's only saying that because he doesn't want to sit through the entirety of Thursday night without the Packers having a pick. Like, that's simply just Corey being like a frustrated fan who doesn't want to be bored on draft night. As far as like the actual draft itself and how the Packers operate with the board and the value, et cetera, I just don't see it making a whole ton of sense. Again, unless there's a player that Brian thinks is going to be a super difference maker in the league, someone who's going to be almost transformational, right? And even then, they're probably not getting up into the top 15. They're probably, if they were to do it, they'd probably get up into the bottom of the first round. Not like those types of players are usually there, but you never know. I mean, I don't think I was ever more surprised on a draft night than when Ted Thompson traded back up into the first round after selecting BJ Raji to take Clay Matthews. That's about as surprised as I've ever been on a draft night. So could it happen? Could I be surprised again? Absolutely. Do I expect it will? Not really. I just think that's pretty anathema to how they tend to operate. Joe, what's up, man? I get the feeling Goot wasn't enthralled with the way some of the rookies, especially Golden and Belton, were developed and utilized by coaches. Thoughts? I have wondered about this, and we kind of joke about it on Packer Transplants from time to time when we talk about the triangle, right? You know, the triangle being, you know, the coach, the GM reporting to the president, CEO. We used to joke that there's a break in the triangle when there might be a bit of a rift or so, a perceived rift between coaching and personnel. And anytime I've ever tried to explore that, both on the record and kind of off, and just, you know, off the record conversations with folks in the building, it's always the same mantra and it's always the same refrain. They talk every day. They're in total lockstep with decision making, etc. Which is, I don't doubt that's true, but sure feels like, and I'm kind of with you that, you know, Brian broke the mold there. I hadn't drafted a wide receiver as an organization in how long in the first round he does so. And the guy, clearly talented, clearly making plays when given opportunities to do so, just kind of wasted away on the bench for a good part of the season. Now, he was dealing with injury at times. Like, he was, you know, legitimately hurt and on the side. Like, I get that. But there were plenty of opportunities to get him involved a bit more in the offense that just never seemed to materialize. And then he was on the field quite a bit, running clear out routes and never really being a central part of the offense. That will obviously, I think, change in year two. There's zero doubt in my mind that he will be much more involved in his second year. But yeah, I do think, you know, it's hard not to think that the general manager is sitting here going, I gave you this weapon and you did nothing with it. I think that's probably maybe only human nature. But again, they are very much in conversation each and every day about how they're going about building the roster, how do you utilize these players, etc. I mean, the Belton thing is always interesting because they, being both the coaches and the personnel folks, really banged the drum about how he was a tackle. They drafted him as a tackle, to play tackle. Everyone outside the building, every media folks and people would come to training camp, just looks like such a big man. You would think you want to at least look at him at guard, which they never did all summer long. Until then, you know, they get into the season and Sean Ryan gets benched. So they put Belton in there. And, you know, he took his lumps. He's a rookie. Certainly didn't, you know, play at a consistently high level, but played well enough for them to move the ball and score some points. Got to think he's probably your starting right guard next year. You know, that's the way Gutekunst was talking yesterday. But it's so odd to me that it took kind of, you know, the wheels falling off the offensive line for them to even think about it when all their talk was about how he was a tackle. I don't know. But it seemed obvious to everyone else that he was a guard. I don't know. So that's a long-winded way of saying, like, I'm sure there's always going to be slight frictions and slight, maybe kind of, I don't want to say questioning, but slight disagreements about guys. But, you know, ultimately, They're all rowing in the same direction, and they all want the same thing, and that's to win a championship. And ultimately, I think they do work really well together. And that's undoubtedly why they're continuing to do so. What else we got here, folks? I love it. Green Bay, notorious for having like the 25th pick and trading it at pick 23. Yeah, well, you know, come on. They're going to utilize those selections as best they see fit. It is interesting how much, I would say, more kind of movement I expect each year, not just out of the Packers, but out of the NFL in general when it comes to teams moving up and down the draft board, trying to kind of manipulate things for either more picks or to jump up and get a guy that they like. It never really materializes as much as I think it will or as much as I'm expecting it to. Some years, there's a little bit more action than others, but yeah, ultimately, I think teams, you know, they, not that they overvalue draft picks, but they want to, you know, let the board fall to them more often than not. Engine, what's up, man? It was nice seeing you break bread with Greg. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, like I said at the top, Greg's a very old friend, and we've both been doing this for a very long time. I remember reading his stuff at Roto World back in the day, and then when he got on with Florio, that's when I really first met him. We used to talk all the time. We, you know, he lives over on the West Coast now. I'm still in New York, and we both have families, etc. So, you know, we don't talk as much as we used to, but yeah, Greg's one of the best. Love reading all his stuff. I think, like I said, he's got one of the keenest eyes in the media when it comes to the game of football. And I know there are people who, you know, really kind of go after him for some of his evaluations and stuff like that. But more often than not, I think he's spot on. I think he's got a really good handle on the league. Gary, this is not unfair. Them putting their best left tackle at right tackle was a head scratcher too, I suppose, but Zach Tom's filled in pretty damn nicely there and played really well at an insanely high level. I don't know. I feel like he settled in at right tackle so well and so strongly that I get the calls to try and move him over to the left side, and who knows, man, this offseason, anything's possible, right? But I think he's played at such a high level over there now for a number of years. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know? My number of people kind of scratching their heads when they moved Elton Jenkins. But I do think, you know, they drafted Jordan Morgan for a reason. And this is going to be his opportunity this year, and he's going to be their left tackle. I think he's ready. I know nothing's ever perfect, but I think he had a good summer, and I think he had a really good showing there in Minnesota in week 18. And now he's going to get a chance to prove it and be the guy, at least for the next 2 years. That is what maybe the little bit of a downside when it comes to the Packers and their approach here. You know, well, we've got Rasheed Walker. We drafted this guy in the first round, but we're going to play him at right guard just because we want to, quote, get him on the field. But now he's, you know, essentially been a swingman and or backup for 2 years. Now he's going to be your starting left tackle for 2 years. But after 1 year, you're probably going to have to make the determination of whether you want to re-sign him or not. And he's only played 1 year of left tackle for you. You know, that is the one, maybe not one, but that is a downside for, you know, having your rookies earn it and all that stuff. And they just aren't on the field as much as maybe they would be in other programs. You don't have as much data and you don't have as much kind of evidence in front of you to make determinations like that, because you've been, you know, making them kind of sit on the sideline and earn things rather than getting them on the field. You know, whether that is, you know, Jordan Morgan, whether that's Matthew Golden, you know, it can be a little frustrating. No question about it. So we got here, folks. Make sure I get that. Dale Norton, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Good afternoon. Well, good afternoon from Indianapolis. I hope you're doing well. No, I can't. I'm not sure where you are. Usually, you know, you give me a location, but wherever it is, I hope you're having a good afternoon and a good day. What else we got here, folks? Oh, this chat. Killing me, folks. Killing me. We got Leonard. How are you? Complicated fella. How are you, sir? Hey, Nags. Are you running the 40 at the combine, 5.5 or 5.4? Feels like I'm going to get this question every day this week. No, I will not be running the 40. Barely made it home from the bar last night to my hotel. So there will be no 40 running in my future. That doesn't mean that people won't be. I encourage folks to check out Rich Eisen's 40. Does great work raising money for St. Jude and other charities. Really, really good stuff. Oh, God, here we go. Here we go. Arsenal going to kill Chelsea on Sunday. Now, let's be nice. I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it. Look, I just want a good showing, and I want to make sure that we have 11 players throughout the entire match. Now, that will be a start, right? This red card epidemic in Chelsea, regardless of who the manager is starting to drive me insane. I also know that whatever happens, we'll probably have a lead that we can't hang on to. Chelsea has become the Matt LaFleur Chelsea team at this point. It's been a bit maddening the last couple times I've been on the pitch. Donnie, what's up, man? What are your thoughts on the rumors of Willis getting almost $30 million in free agency? Yeah, I think it's a decent possibility. I've been telling people I think he's going to get the bag, and I think he's going to get the opportunity to be someone's frontline starter, not come in and be a bridge guy, come in and be, compete with a rookie, etc. I think someone's going to hand him the bag and make him their quarterback. Make sure you check out my conversation with Greg, because we went over this quite a bit as far as, I understand the small sample size stuff, only threw 30 passes or whatever. I get all that. But, man, the tape shows you the upside that is there. Now, it's going to depend somewhat on where he lands, what the coaching staff is like, what's the scheme he's running, etc. Got to think there's a decent chance he ends up in Arizona with LaFleur's brother. That's just one possibility. But wherever he ends up, I think he's going to be, whoever it is going to commit to him because of what he's put on tape these last 2 years in Green Bay. He's a pretty special athlete. He can do a lot of things with his legs that a lot of these quarterbacks cannot. And his ability to not only create outside the pocket with his legs, but then also make any throw you want him to make. I mean, I was going back and watching the season, before I left for Disney, and there's a throw he makes in the Ravens game, a far hash deep out that he makes look effortless, which is just not an easy throw that not, a ton of quarterbacks can make in the NFL even. And he just made it look like nothing. Like, he has got every tool you could possibly want a quarterback to possess. And now been given some really good coaching these last couple of years. It feels like he's ready to, he has the potential to be pretty special if he's in the right situation with the right group. Now, that's a big question mark, but yeah, I think someone's going to pay him to be exactly that type. What they hope is that type of quarterback. Anybody go Pack go. Rico, Erica, what's up? Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Go Pack go. It's a perfect place to leave it. Really appreciate it. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to go. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack go.